Blog Talk Radio.
Ohio Exopolitics. I'm your host, Mark Snyder. Subject of this morning's show is the Storage Bank Archives. And just to give you a little background, if you're not real familiar with this show and the information that I typically talk about on Ohio Exopolitics on Blog Talk Radio, a lot of our shows are devoted to the Billy Meyer case. Edward Albert Meyer is a one-arm farmer from Switzerland. He's about 77 years old, and he lives approximately 45 minutes east of Zurich in a little town called Hinterschmidruti. Billy has had extraterrestrial contacts since about the age of 5 years old, and these extraterrestrials were humans from a different star system, the Pleiaren star system, and from a parallel universe to ours. And they tell us that their forefathers are our forefathers, and these forefathers, called the Lyrians, settled on the Earth about 389,000 years ago and interacted with humanity. But that's a long story. I don't want to get off on that tangent. So Billy, his life's mission is to teach this ancient universal information called the teaching of the spirit, the teaching of the truth, the teaching of life. And one part of this information deals with something called the storage banks. And the storage bank archive of the general spiritual teaching is called the Shrudel. An archive is a place where public records or other historical documents are kept, and these records usually have some kind of cultural value, maybe scientific, medical value, artistic value, a value associated with maybe building things or whatever. Now, the Shrudel, the storage banks, are not storage banks for physical records, but rather information that is available as kind of an energy. And Edward Albert Meyer, Billy, has the ability to pull information down from these universal storage banks. And he recently wrote a book called The Goblet of Truth back in about 2008 or something to that effect. And he pulled the first 14 chapters of this book down from what he calls the terrestrial storage banks. The German word here is called Speicherbank, which can be translated as memory bank or storage bank. And these public spiritual teaching storage banks are available to all people who have that ability to access them. And the German word zugänglich means accessible, available, open to the public. So these storage banks are open to the public, but most of us don't have the ability to access them. Now, another interesting thing happens. As human beings here on the Earth, sometimes we receive impulses from these storage banks. And an impulse you can perhaps think of as a signal. In terms of the medical terminology, our nerves, our brain sends electronic impulses through our body, for example, to move your hand. And that goes down the nerves. And the Universal Storage Bank sends impulses at times to people. Let me read something from one of Billy's writings called How It All Began, where the storage banks are mentioned in this writing. It says, the word suddenly formed on my lips again, which said, since ancient times you have lived among the stars, and suddenly I knew who I was, how I am, and what my mission is on the earth. And suddenly impulses came from somewhere, which I later recognized as impulses from the storage banks. Many good memories penetrated me and showed me the way to go in my life. So sometimes what comes from the storage banks are impulses. An impulse could be defined as the influence of a particular feeling. Impulses can be feelings, a mental state, etc. In physics, an impulse usually is talking about something that changes the momentum of an object. And it could also be a sudden wish or an urge. And as I said earlier, in medicine, an impulse is the electrochemical transmission of a signal along a nerve fiber, which produces a response in the target tissue. And we have other definitions of impulses. For example, in science, an impulse is a sudden flow of electrical current in a direction. But the impression that I get here is that the impulse in this case refers to a signal of some type. So at a very, very young age, young Edward Albert Meyer, a five-year-old boy at this time, growing up in Bulak, Switzerland, in a little town called Niederflux, was getting these impulses from the Universal Storage Banks. And again, in his writing, How It All Began, the storage banks are mentioned. Already at the age of four, this great recognition instantly changed my life, because after I was familiarized with this insight and understanding by means of impulses from the storage banks, and also I learned who I really was, what I had to learn and do in my life, and what my life task was. And Billy then goes on to explain that he looked at human beings and animals and nature in a completely new way, and he felt a great astonishment. So these impulses from the storage bank seemed to affect his understanding. They gave him some guidance, and they influenced his memory. And in FIGU Bulletin, Special Bulletin 33, the storage banks are also mentioned in regards to what is called the peace meditation. And the people in Billy's group, they do a peace meditation on a regular basis where they meditate to hopefully influence the people to a more peaceful existence. And it is a long-known fact, which was already known here since ancient times, that the peace meditation in large groups positively affects a great deal. And these peace meditations activate, or how can I say this? With the peace meditation in ancient and the only effective formulas employed, which already lost in Indian Vedic teachings thousands of years ago and is held in an ancient language, which is constantly present in the subconscious of all human via impulses from the storage bank. So in our subconscious, we have, all humans on earth have impulses associated with some ancient languages in the Vedic. And these are the Vedic teaching, the teaching of the Vedas. These are Hindu teachings like the Bhagavad Gita. So this impulse, these impulses which come from the storage banks, sometimes affect our subconscious rather than our conscious mind. So information from the storage banks is present in the subconscious of all humans. And it later mentions in the bulletin that the subconscious of humans can receive input from the storage banks during these peace meditations. There's a spiritual level called Arahat Athrasada, and I know I'm throwing a lot of terms at you today in a very quick fashion. We always repeat, people that have listened to it know that we go over and over things many times. Arahat Athrasada level is the pure spiritual level. There are seven evolutionary steps that human beings go through. The final stage, the seventh stage, we go back into a purely spiritual state. And Billy was receiving communications from this Arahat Athrasada level. And in Billy's writing, Soth's explanation, it says, "Therefore, also practice spiritual telepathy, in which, along with many other things, I will also instruct you, because the level Arahat Athrasada can only connect with you in this manner, whereby, however, this will only be one-sided, thus you will receive only that which is instructive." Now, Billy is talking, actually, in this case, this extraterrestrial human named Soth is talking to Billy. When Billy was growing up in a little town called Niederflux, a little region in Bulak, Switzerland, he would get these impulses, again, impulses, spiritual. In this case, it may have been telepathy directly from Soth to go out into the forest, the Oregon forest, to play. And Billy would be looking at some fish swimming in the stream. And then out of the sky would come this silvery pear-shaped craft. And Soth was Billy's first extraterrestrial mentor. He met with Soth for 11 years. Soth told him some very interesting things about Billy's life. For example, he was told that he had been on the Earth in various incarnations for the past 13,000 years, and that his most important last six incarnations had been as prophets and teachers in Earth history, and that he had been Enoch, Elijah, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Emmanuel, and Muhammad. And now he is this individual known as Edward Albert Meyer. So what happens is the human spirit reincarnates in material lifetimes to evolve, and we need a material consciousness, a personality, an ego, a material consciousness in order to evolve. And one of the things that helps us in our evolution, obviously, must be these impulses from the storage banks, because the memories of our past lives are stored in our subconscious, and we receive inspiration from the subconscious, but we also get impulses from the storage banks as we grow up. So anyway, we've been talking about something called the Strudel, which are the storage bank archive for the public spiritual teaching. The German word associated with these storage banks is Speicherbank, which can be translated as memory bank or storage bank. And that's public information. Now we're going to talk a little bit about some information that isn't public, but it's only accessible to certain human beings who have reached a certain level in their evolution. And Billy discusses what's called the Schrutten level with one of his other extraterrestrial contacts, a man named Quetzal. And this occurs in contact 228. Billy has had 600 contacts that I know of that are documented on the Future of Mankind site. Recently, I came across some information that indicates there may have been as many as 900 contacts. Anyway, in Contact 228, Srutin is considered the highest spiritual teaching, whereby the highest spiritual teaching is a secret teaching, which is only available to a Srut. The Srut is the next level up from the Ishwish, the king of wisdom. The king of wisdom is the fifth stage of evolution for humans. It's called Ishwish for males and Ishrish for humans. In our ancient past, sometimes these humans at this level of evolution were sometimes called erroneously God. And some of these occasional Ishwishes would claim to be the creator of the universe, but they were not. And as the Maya material states, the gods of the earth were human, and they came from the depths of space. Anyway, let's end Contact 228. Billy is speaking here, and he says, speaking to Quetzal, he says, calm yourself, my son, and don't do Sloth any injustice. He said nothing to me about it. They're speaking of the Srutin level. Besides, you've just now advised me that you yourself, indeed also Ptah and Semyase, two of Billy's other contacts, have evolved into the first grade of the Srut plane. Otherwise, you would have had no knowledge of this level and had no knowledge of this evolution and the manifesting transmission out of the spiritual teaching storage block. So evidently at this Srutin level, there is a literal transmission, but only certain people are able to pull this information out. And the final stage of the storage banks is called the Bansrut. And the Bansrutin level, are the informations in the storage banks that's only available to the Bansrut. The Bansrut is the highest state of evolution which a human consciousness can achieve. It is higher than that of a Srut or an Ishwish. And this information deals with the essence of wisdom of all essence of wisdom. The German word Weisheit means wisdom. Wisdom is the ability to think and act using knowledge, experience, understanding, common sense, and insight. Wisdom often requires that we control our emotional reactions. Essence of wisdom can mean even a judicial sentence serving as a precedent. It also refers to learning and experience. Well, the Meyer contact notes are originally written in German, and that's why I keep mentioning various German words. Some of them have been translated and some of them have not. This information regards to storage banks has been translated. And it talks about the Speicherbank or the storage banks. And this phrase says he or she is able to open up the concerned storage bank. And some of the other, there's a German word here called Erschließen, which provides some additional insight into the concept of opening up these storage banks. And Erklischen might be translated to tap, to develop, to extrapolate, to deduce, or to open. To open might be the best translation in this case. However, it's very helpful to look at other meanings of words in order to really get a feel for what is being said. Anyway, that is what I wanted to talk about in terms of the storage banks today. I just wanted to mention those. I thought you might enjoy that. So Edward Albert Meyer is a farmer from Switzerland. He is about 77 years old now. He's had extraterrestrial contacts since about the age of 5 years old. And during our last show, we were talking about one of these contacts. It's contact 215, which deals with something called the Henoch prophecies. And the Henoch prophecies tell us about information that's going to occur right now, or in the very, very near future. And typically, many times, we focus on the Middle East because there's much activity in the Middle East. And during the last show, we were talking about Ariel Sharon, who was a general for the Army of Israel for many years. Plus, he was a prime minister. And he was responsible for him and Menachem Begin for much of the, like the Shatila and the Shabra massacre, which occurred in Lebanon, I think, in 1982, where 3,000 people were murdered. But in this is a discussion that's taking place in Contact 215 between Quetzal and Billy. And Quetzal is telling Billy about things that are going to happen in our near future. And we listened to part of this last time, but I thought it would be good to review a little bit of it. This is an Ariel Sharon interview that was conducted on 60 Minutes. Let's listen to this, and I'll pick back up in Contact 215 shortly.
60 Minutes, rewind.
Here in Israel, it has been one of the bloodiest weekends most Israelis have ever lived through, and in some ways, we've lived through it with them. In the midst of this bloody weekend, the Prime Minister, Ariel Sharon, took time out to explain to us why he launched the most massive military crackdown on the Palestinians in 20 years. The situation is so difficult that he went on Israeli television tonight to blame Yasser Arafat for directing and initiating the terror and to assure his people they will be victorious. In his news conference yesterday, President Bush condemned Arafat for the terrorism, but not Ariel Sharon for the retaliation. We spent a good part of yesterday afternoon with the Prime Minister at his farm in the heart of the country. He's been condemned around the world, the wisdom of his action questioned by those who wonder if he's thought this through. While we were talking, tanks were breaking down walls in Ramallah, and Yasser Arafat was effectively under house arrest without electricity for a while, giving interviews by flashlight.
You have said that Arafat is the enemy. You have said in the past that you wished him dead, and you said that you made a mistake in promising President Bush that you wouldn't kill him. Is that what you want to do now? Do you want to rub him out, as we say?
We don't have any intention to hurt him physically.
What about expel him?
We have to consider all the possible ways that would enable us to uproot the terror.
You might expel him?
I don't know.
You're isolating him. For what purpose? What's the reason? What is this whole operation? You don't want to kill him.
Most of our casualties at the present time are casualties caused by organizations that are paid by him, like the Tamzim. And the purpose is to isolate him from giving all instructions or any other thing or any guidance to these organizations.
Have you been able, since this operation started, to pick up any communications he's had? Has he been giving orders?
Look,
either to continue the terrorism or to stop the terrorism?
It's a different situation now. Once he's isolated, it's a different situation now. He cannot have all those meetings with the commanders that were in charge of the most terrible assassinations and murder. It makes it harder.
Mr. Sharon read from a list of suicide bombings since the recent Palestinian uprising began in September 2000.
Just look at the numbers. I'll take from the Dolphinarium, 21 killed, 120 injured. I'll take these restaurants, Baro in Jerusalem, 15 killed, all civilians. In another event in Jerusalem, 11 killed, 180 injured.
I don't think anybody denies that Israel has suffered a series of horrendous suicide attacks. But is what's happening now playing into Arafat's hands? Here he is, this one man, holed up in this little place without electricity. All he has is a phone and a machine gun.
You don't have to worry about that.
Here he is, he's David, your Goliath, and this big mighty power is coming after him. Are you playing into his hands? That's what I'm asking.
I would have expected the world not to look with such mercy at somebody who is responsible for all this suffering, but to look at the victims. I must tell you, it's, for me, it's harder to watch those two baby girls that were left alone when their parents were killed just 2 days ago. Why the world is not shocked by that? Why the world is not shocked by that?
In the last couple of months, there have been pregnant Palestinian women, Palestinian children, innocent civilians on the other side that have also been killed in these crackdowns. What do you feel about that?
I feel very bad about that. As a soldier for many years, I know that in battles, in wars, sometimes civilians are killed or hurt.
Anyway, we're back in contact 215. Edward Albert Meyer had this contact back on February 28, 1987, and the contact person that Billy is speaking with is named Quetzal. Quetzal was the commander of all of the stations in our solar system at that time. Quetzal is telling Billy about something that happened called the Shabra and the Shatila massacre, which were killings that occurred in Beirut, Lebanon, something like somewhere between 762 and 3,500 civilians were killed. Lebanon is north of Israel on the coast of the Mediterranean Sea. And the massacre was actually a retaliation for the assassination of a newly elected Lebanese president, Bakir Gemal. And it was wrongly assumed that the Palestinian militants had carried out the assassination. So there was a Christian militia that was brought in that actually killed some 3,000 people. And here's what it says in line 11 of contact 215. Through Ariel Sharon, very much disaster, evil and pain, suffering and death will be spread into the new millennium, because he will be able to indulge uninhibitedly in his murderous and inhumane ambitions. The new millennium, or the third millennium, as it's called in the Meyer information, began back in 1945 when we saw the atomic bombs on Hiroshima and Nagasaki. The third millennium is the time. It's a time of confusion, which will spread all over the earth. It's a time of slowly approaching global collapse. And the Goblet of Truth tells us that at this point, the clash of the industrialized nations is almost inevitable. And we could even see a collapse of nature in the time that we've seen. During this time, the Meyer information predicts that our leaders will become megalomaniacal. They will become grandiose. They will exaggerate their own importance, and they will work to take away the people's rights of self-determination. Now, instead of actively opposing this the way people should be, instead, people have become indolent, obtuse, and indifferent. And this is creating the circumstances for eventually great anger and aggression. And part of the activities in the third millennium involves these conflicts that occur in the Middle East, which are going to spread shortly to the United States, particularly with this group called ISIS. Let me play a little music. We're going to take a little about a 3-minute break here and relax and pull ourselves back together, and then we'll get back into Contact 215 and some potential things that may happen in our future very shortly. We'll be back in about 3 minutes. You're listening to Ohio Exopolitics. I'm your host, Mark Snyder. Welcome all of you back to Ohio Exopolitics. I'm your host, Mark Snyder. We are talking about the Henoch prophecies, Contact 215 and the Billy Meyer case, which talks about very difficult times ahead of us, very potential difficult times. In the Henoch prophecies, it warns us about the greatest disaster in human history, which will occur in the North American continent when nuclear, biological, and chemical weapons will be released by automated systems that run outside of human control. And as these negative trends continue to work towards this climax, on this show, we're going to point out how this information was prophesied 20-some years ago in the Meyer information. Right now in Contact 215, we are looking at some of the prophetic information that dealt with Palestine and Israel, particularly Ariel Sharon. And it says in line 11, through Ariel Sharon, very much disaster, evil and pain, suffering and death will spread in the new millennium, because he will be able to indulge uninhibitedly in his murderous and inhumane ambitions, in utter irresponsibility and in uncontrollable hatred against the Palestinians in particular, and also against the Arabs, without any great and serious objection being raised against it by the Israelis or by the world. It says, through Ariel Sharon, much evil is going to be brought into the world. Evil in general context means the absence or complete opposite of that which is good. Often evil is talked about as a profound immorality. Definitions of evil can vary, as does the analysis of its motives and its causes. However, things which are defined as evil often involve unbalanced behavior. And in the Meyer material, we focus on certain spiritual teachings, and one of the things that's always emphasized is balanced behavior. Behavior that's neutral positive, keeping your thinking neutral positive. If you're thinking very negative thoughts or very positive thoughts, then you become unbalanced. Part of wisdom is maintaining this balance. The universal consciousness, the creator of our universe, not the bogus religious deities that are discussed by our religions, but the actual creator, is a neutral positive spirit. It's a neutral positive entity that builds universes as a part of its own evolution. And it really has no personality. It's not anthropomorphic. It does radiate love and have incredible wisdom, but it doesn't become angry and doesn't become jealous and isn't vengeful and doesn't get involved in human wars because it maintains this balanced behavior. Unbalanced behavior, which is characteristic of the third millennium, involves selfishness, ignorance, and neglect. Some synonyms for unbalanced behavior are deranged, demented, disturbed, unhinged, insane. These are some of the trends that are coming in the third millennium and that are here. So, in your own life, the focus should be on maintaining balance in your thinking. And you should think about your thoughts. Be aware of your thoughts, much like a garden. Our thoughts are in many ways like a garden. In other words, we can have weeds in our own garden, which are these unbalanced thoughts, which can lead to insanity. But we should be constantly examining or clarifying our thoughts. And Billy states that the human being must make the effort to clarify his or her thoughts so that they become more valuable, more purposive, and more productive. Repetition is one of the ways to clarify your thoughts. Go over the information that I talk about on this show. Go over it again and again. Say it out loud if you have to. In the book, The Psyche, it talks about speaking certain principles out loud at times. Clarification means the action of making a statement or a situation less confused. So clarifying your thoughts can make your whole situation less confused. And part of the problem in the third millennium is people are not practicing clarifying our thoughts. So many of us are to a certain degree confused about things. And this confusion leads to frustration. Now, when a garden is started, we have plant life that started in that garden, and our consciousness is like a garden. And if it is not correctly maintained, there will be wildly growing negative thoughts, which can have a confusing and destructive effect. Now, there's a German word, Aussartung, which means to get very bad, out of control of the good human nature. And these wildly growing out-of-control thoughts lead to Aussartung. So does positive thinking. The neutral, positive, equalized mode of thinking. Neutral, positive, equalized mode of thinking will repair your psyche. And the might of the thinking is every human being's key to his own personal power in everything. In the way that we learn to stop doing things that we don't want to be doing is to clarify our thoughts. Many people do things without knowing why. And that's often people that become trapped with certain addictions get that way. So you can think of your consciousness like a garden, and a plant sprouts from a seed and therefore cannot come into existence without it. Everything springs forth from the might of the human being's thoughts. And these thoughts, once they're animated and created, they develop their own life, exactly as plants. And you can gather sweet fruits from your thoughts if they're neutral positive. Mostly neutral balanced thinking will gather positive results. Thinking that's negative, thinking that's too positive, you need to reach right in there and pull that thought out like a weed. If you allow negative thoughts to grow in your consciousness, they will proliferate like wildly growing weeds, and they will displace everything. And that's how people go insane. And that leads to evil. Now, Billy has had some things to say about evil. And something like a universal evil does not even really exist. But there is like an energy block around our planet that consists of religious delusions and nonsense and other negative thoughts, which are emanated by human beings who think along such lines. And if we look at these groups like ISIS, they have these wildly negative thoughts, and now they're committing all these atrocities, and we hear about the beheadings and the killings. And these people are living in a bondage by these belief systems, which are constantly influenced by this negative block of energy around our planet. And it's like a vicious cycle. And the Meyer material says that entities like the devil and Satan and demons are nothing real, but they are figments of religious delusion and imagination. And we are essentially are creating these evils through our own negative repeating thoughts, and it will take about 800 years from now to break through this cycle when people start to occupy themselves with the truth. But until the broad masses succeed in profoundly thinking about the truth, it will take much more time for these things to be rectified. Now, because of these constantly repeating, out of control, negative thoughts, which are produced by, in many cases, these religious organizations, we have the extremism in our religions today. And there's a journalist called Todenhofer who is now starting to interview members of this ISIS group in Mosul. And it's very insightful, and I have a clip here where we can listen to this Todenhofer as he talks to these people in ISIS, and he talks about ISIS and their thoughts and their extreme viewpoints.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to this special edition of the program. I'm Fred Pleitgen, in for Christian Amanpour, coming to you tonight from Munich in Germany. There's been some progress recently in the fight against ISIS, with Kurdish forces making headway in northern Iraq. However, ISIS remains entrenched, both in Iraq as well as in Syria, and very little is known about its inner workings and also how high morale is among its fighters. Now, the German author Jürgen Todenhofer has managed to get access to ISIS both in Iraq and in Syria. He's a former German politician who now travels the world trying to understand the conflicts of our times. Tonight, for the first time, you're going to be able to listen to the interviews he conducted and see the video he filmed.
Jürgen Todenhofer, welcome to the program. Thank you for joining us. Hi.
ISIS is an organization that a lot of people obviously hate, a lot of people fear, but very few people know anything about. Their leader, Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi, has only been seen once in a mosque in Mosul. You were there as well. What was it like when you went there?
It was a little mosque, and I got a lot of trouble because I wasn't allowed to enter. And I've been criticized, and we had a hard dispute about that. I wasn't allowed to go there because I was only a Christian.
What's life like under ISIS? What's life like for the people in Mosul? Because that was the main place that you visited.
Life seems to be normal. I say seems. Normal like life is in totalitarian countries, under dictatorships. But if you say seems to be normal, it means that you have to know that 130,000 Christians have been forced to leave, that an incredible number of Shias have been forced to leave and have been killed, that the Yazidis have been killed, and that only the Sunnis are still in this city. So I think after 1 week you cannot say how life really is. I've been in Mosul 11 years ago. But I must say, because I have to tell you the truth, it looked like 11 years ago. Without this plurality with Christians and Shias, which was also the charm of this city.
One of the things that people there seem to at least appreciate about this totalitarian leadership that you're talking about there is that the police force seems to work, is that the daily life seems to work. Is that the impression that you got? How are things organized? Is the Islamic State, as it calls itself, building state institutions there?
It works like many states in this area, especially in the field of law and order, of course, but this is very important for these people who have been discriminated by a Shia government, which was discriminating and killing also the Shia, the Sunni population. And for many Sunnis, I think many Sunnis, moderate Sunnis, don't like the radical IS Sunnis, but they prefer them to the Shia government they had before. So they had a choice to make, if they wanted to be discriminated by Shias or if they want to live with IS. And I have the impression that there is no resistance against IS in the Sunni population. And I know the Sunni population very well because I spent in 2007 during the war against the United States a lot of time with these moderate Sunnis, and they told me exactly the same.
The fighters seem to be very confident, they seem to be very proficient and very successful on the battlefield. And we're going to take a look at an interview that you did with an ISIS fighter in Mosul.
It took you how many days to conquer Mosul?
About 4 days. We did not kill all 24 of them. We killed a fewer number, but they got terrified and ran away. We did not retreat. God has promised us victory. We must fight.
And you think that you will win the war all over Iraq and Syria? Are you sure?
We are certain that God will bring us victory and that all countries will be conquered. We will get to Rome, Istanbul, and even the United States. We are certain of that.
On TV, we see beheadings. We see people being enslaved. How much of that did you see when you were there?
I didn't see that, but this is horrible for me too. I saw these videos too. But these beheading videos are a part of the strategy of IS to make fear and terror in the field of the enemies. And this is one of the reasons why the enemies run away when the fighters of IS arrive. It's a clear strategy, and I had every day long discussions with them because I said, you know, I have read the Quran. I know Islam. Islam is a religion of mercy. But where is your mercy?
Well, that's very interesting. Islam is a religion of mercy. Where is your mercy? Todenhofer exclaims. This evening, I will be talking with Dr. Kevin Barrett on freedomslips.com and Studio B at 8 p.m. Eastern. And we're going to talk about ISIS. We're going to talk about Islam. And it's very interesting because Dr. Kevin Barrett is a Muslim, but he's certainly not a person that believes in beheadings and all this insane violence that ISIS is involved in. I got a bulletin recently. It comes from Figu, Australia. And I got it from Marianne Ullinger, who works with Billy on a regular basis. And it talks about something called the Pied Piper, which is one of the prophecies of Billy Edward Albert Meyer. And the Pied Piper is Abu Bakr el-Baghdadi, this extremist, this leader that was talked about on our clip. It says in 1995 here, this is from Billy's book, Prophecies and Predictions. In 1995 will also be the year in which a new mighty one who will begin to develop wants to charm the world and gather followers around him, like the Pied Piper of Hamelin once did, which is why, in one prophecy, he is called the Pied Piper. Now, Billy talks about this in contact number 593, which occurred in August of last year, 2014, August 2nd. Billy is talking with Ptah, the commander of the Plaran Mothership. Billy says, in the East Ukraine, there is still no rest with the separatists, as is also the case in North Iraq, with the ISIS gang of felons. The ISIS murderers cause havoc in North Iraq, murder civilians and believers of other religions on a huge scale, and they want to create a theocracy, whereby all Sunni Islamists from various non-Islamic states get involved. Ptah responds and says, right, from many countries, thus also from Germany, Switzerland, England, Australia, Italy, Spain, and France, as well as from former Eastern Bloc states, Christian believers are converted to Islam and then fanaticized and radicalized in an Islamist form. And I think the one individual that Todenhofer was speaking with was one of these, probably Christians, who was radicalized. Ptah continues, also from Arabic and African countries, as well as from the USA, Canada, and Asia and South America, fanaticized Islamists are called in this wise in order to participate with ISIS, which now calls itself IS. That is to say, IS means the Islamic State. And anyway, they have this delusional ideas that come from this lunatic, this terrorist, Abu Bakr el-Baghdadi, who many thought was dead for the past 10 years, and he's appointed himself anyway as the caliph. The caliph is the leader of this Islamic state. They're trying to create a worldwide Islamic state. And as you heard in the clip, they plan to go into England and into the United States. Let me continue reading here. Also, Al-Qaeda is still operating and recruiting people in the same wise. The IS murderers will not be content with North Iraq or with the entire Iraq, because the striving for might of Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi is boundless. Consequently, he also tries to bring entire provinces of Syria under his might. The clip we listened to, the MP3, was talking about Mosul, which is a city in Syria with about 4 or 5 million people. Anyway, it goes on to say here, because in his insanity, he has in mind that he could eliminate believers of other religions.
That's why the beheadings, that's why all the killing. Or simply the ones who think differently. By means of mass murder and the extermination of peoples. That's the goal of ISIS, mass murder and extermination of peoples. That he could conquer all the world through boundless destructions and turn it into a theocracy. See, what Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi wants to do is create this theocracy. This Islamic caliphate, where he is the caliph. And this was the same kind of thing that Hitler wanted to do and cultivate this earthly Aryan humankind. It's interesting, the Meyer material, particularly in the Goblet of Truth, talks about a consciousness-conditioned tyranny. And here on the earth, there is a war on for our consciousness, a war on for our thinking. And we live in a tyranny, particularly, that comes from religion. A tyranny that tries to control our thoughts. And its most strongest new manifestation is this ISIS terror group. Anyway, join me at 8 p.m. Eastern this evening on freedomslips.com, Studio B. We'll talk to you next time.